Hello and welcome to the Connected Community Podcast. Today, my guest is Iyer Atla, and we talk about road schooling and homeschooling. Iyer is a medical astrologist, astroherbalist, green witch, podcast host, author, and mother of four. In 2018, she found herself working to the bone. She was working 100 hours a week, and when she came home, she was absolutely exhausted and wasn't able to show up in the ways that she had hoped she could show up for her family. Her and her husband at that point decided to sell all of their possessions and take their life on the road. They wanted some adventure and they wanted some fun, and their kids were totally up for it. And so they took a life on the road and have been road schooling and homeschooling and unschooling their kids. What I really like about this episode is that everyone in the family is getting their needs met, their needs for individuation, socialization, privacy, interaction, exploring everybody's individual interests, and so much more. If you enjoyed this episode, please check out last week's episode where I interview a family that has a similar story that goes down a different path. But I would like to inspire everyone that if this is something that interests you, even if you have kids, because sometimes we think if we have kids that this isn't possible, it's absolutely possible if we think outside the box and everyone in the family can get their needs met. So this is totally a life of adventure, fun, exploration, and so many ups and downs. And so I really hope you'll enjoy this episode. Please, if you're enjoying these episodes, take a moment to give us a like, a share, and a subscribe. And I want to thank you so much for being here today. Enjoy. Hello, and welcome to the Connected Community Podcast, a place to explore possibility through mindfulness, movement, and self-discovery. Our intention is to deliver insight and inspiration while fostering conversations that are genuine, unfiltered, and deeply human. We hope you will enjoy today's episode. Hi, Iyer. I want to thank you so much for joining me today on the Connected Community Podcast.
Yes, thank you so much for having me here. I'm excited.
Yes. So let's just talk a little bit about your background. It's super diverse, and you have a bunch of degrees and a lot of different things that you have your hands in. So do you want to just talk briefly about all the different modalities that you're involved with?
Yeah, definitely. I can do that. So I am a medical astrologist, an astroherbalist, and an astro-nutritionist, as well as a green witch. And I use all of those to help women heal their bodies using their natal charts and their cosmic blueprints. So basically, a medical astrologist is someone that uses astrology to help determine what's going on inside someone's body and uses that as a tool to kind of like see inside of what's happening and can find where imbalances are occurring, nutritional deficits are happening, different things are going on in the body. And then I use herbs and nutrition and lifestyle and mindset changes to help the person enact a plan that helps their body heal. So that's my like day job that I do. And I love it. I'm a green witch. So I practice witchcraft that's very nature-based spirituality. And I use my knowledge of herbs from that and their metaphysical properties on top of their other properties that we use them for, the healing properties, to, you know, develop formulas and preparations for individuals to help their bodies heal using those. And that's just my spiritual path in general that I follow in my life. And I was a nurse for a very long time, almost 21 years. And I retired from that last year, actually. And yeah, I've not missed it. So I did that for a really long time. I also have a few degrees in herbalism. I went back to school and got a couple of those. I got a naturopathy certificate. I got my nursing degree and I still keep my nursing license up because I do use that in my practice as well. So it's kind of a conglomeration of things, but ultimately I use all of that knowledge to help women with hormonal issues, heal their bodies, have babies when they were told they never would, go back to peaceful periods, have lots of easy, tranquil transitions into menopause, and stop having all of those crazy symptoms that we're told are normal during our period and are not, like cramps and PMS and pain and heavy bleeding and all of that. So that is my jam and I love doing it.
I love that. Are you following the Vedic or Western astrology system?
Well, medical astrology is actually a combination of Western astrology as well as Vedic practices and traditional Chinese medicine practices, throwing in a little bit of the Kabbalah as well as some Arabic, like an Egyptian type practices. So it's kind of a mix of a bunch of different things, but the actual astrology side is more the Western astrology side.
Yeah. There's so many things to talk about, but what I'm super interested to talk to you about is living this nomadic life and homeschooling or road schooling your kids and how to balance that all. And, you know, you usually hear people doing that, but not with kids and families. And that adds this other element of complication and complexity and beauty. And so what was the passion to like give it all up and say, let's do this. And this is the right path for my family.
Yeah. Not seeing my kids when I was working and we were living at, you know, a house and doing all the stuff that society says we should do. I never saw my kids. I was working upwards of 100 hours a week as a nurse during our busy season, especially, which was like from October to the end of the year. So all those major holidays that you really want to spend with your kids, Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas and all those things, I was barely home to see them. I never saw my spouse. And it was just after a while, I was like, why are we doing this? I'm working 100 hours a week almost during Monday through Friday. And then we come home Saturday, Sunday, and we're running around doing groceries because we haven't got anything in the house for God knows how long. I'm doing 17 loads of laundry. I'm, you know, cleaning the whole house from top to bottom. I'm running the kids to birthday parties and sport and whatever. And we still don't have any time together. And then I get back up and I go back to 100 hours of work on Monday. And it was getting to the point where like my kids were having behavioral issues and they weren't doing well in school. And my spouse and I were at each other's throats all the time because we were just tired and exhausted. And we got really tired of living that life. So one day we just kind of looked at each other and said, there has got to be a different way to do this because this is not what we want from here until whenever we retire, right? Just this constant cycle of that rat race that we were stuck in, right? And so we started down the rabbit hole of looking mm-hmm. to see like what else that we could even do. I had done travel nursing for a really long time prior to having my daughter. When I had my daughter, I suddenly became a single parent and wasn't expecting that. So I couldn't travel and do nursing because I didn't have anyone to watch, you know, a baby as I was traveling. And prior to that, it had been me and my dog. So it was much easier, right? And so I stopped and I ended up meeting my now husband, and he brought a few kids into the marriage and I had brought mine, and we blended our families and we were just not happy with that life. So we said, there has to be a different way. And I said, well, I've done travel nursing. We can go back travel nursing. But I was like, well, how does that work? I've never traveled with anybody but me and my dog. And so we started looking into it, and I went down this rabbit hole and I found a podcast actually entitled The RV Entrepreneur. And I was like, that sounds interesting. And it was all about people that like work from the road, and a lot of them have families. And I was like, oh, they do this with their kids. That was like, we could do this with our kids. And so after like a week or two of us kind of doing mm-hmm. our own thing, my husband and I met back together, and I was like, so we could, and he said at the same time as me, we could do an RV. We were like, okay, that must be meant to be, because we both came up with the same thing without talking to each other. So that was in like January of 2019. We put it up right at the very end of March. We got a full asking price with no extra concessions or anything, and then had closing in May. And we, in between February and May, we sold everything in the house that we didn't absolutely need to like take on the road with us. We bought an RV and we started packing everything in. And by mid-May, we had moved out of the house and were living in the RV while we were finishing up roles at our jobs and stuff. My husband at the time had a job that he could do on the road, so he was planning on just going on the road with that. And I was like, okay, let me, you know, get going on the things that I need to do to, you know, get back into travel nursing. I called my old recruiter up, started talking to her, and got things rolling on that end. So we were kind of in like a holding pattern. And then August came and we were like, do we re-enroll the kids in school? Do we hit the road now? Like, we were trying to decide what we were doing. And my husband got laid off. They laid off 4,500 people at his job, and he was hit with the cuts. And we were like, oh, okay, great. Well, we need to do something because we can't survive on just the current salary that I was making. And I was already working, like I said, upwards of 100 hours a week. I'm like, I can't work anymore. than what I'm currently working. Like, I'm going to like have a stress induced heart attack. So I called my recruiter up and I said, hey, can we go like now? Like, do you have anything now? And she was like, let me see what I got. And she found me one that was a job up in Virginia. And she said, let me submit you for it. And they called me like within an hour of her submitting me. And I did a little mini interview and they were like, please come help us. They submitted an offer. And by like the very beginning of September, we hit the road and started traveling. And we've been doing it ever since. And we love it. We absolutely love it. We did talk to the kids prior to doing this before anybody thinks that we just like dove into this. We sat down with the kids. We explained we wanted to try something different and that this is what we were thinking of. How did they feel about that? Because we were going to have to do homeschooling. We were going to have to leave behind some of the stuff that they knew, and they were gung ho for it. Every single one of them was like, hell yeah, we get to be homeschooled. We don't have to go back to school. Let's go. So we did talk to them first. We didn't just make this. It was a family decision and they still love it. So.
And how old were they when you guys went on the road?
6 and 7 and let's see, 13, 14, somewhere in there.
Four of you, four kids.
I have four kids. The other one was, he wanted to live with his bio mom. So he had already, moved up to a different state. So he was not with us for traveling. He did come with us a couple of times, but he mainly stayed stationary. He's not a traveling child, we have discovered. He's a homebody. He likes to be in one place, and that's okay.
And did you guys put things in storage or did you just get rid of everything?
Nope. We sold everything and
did it all.
What we didn't sell, we gave away. Most of the kids kept most of like their stuff and things like that would fit. But we had to try to fit an entire 3-bedroom, 2-bath, you know, 1-car garage, storage shed out back, extra attic space into a 35-foot camper. So it's you got to cut a lot of stuff out. And over the years, we've discovered that we need even less than we thought we did. So we've even cut back on that stuff, too. We've found a flow. We have a rule that if you get something new, something old has to go out because we don't have space to just keep collecting.
Was there anything particularly difficult to let go of during that process of shedding out like the house and all the material stuff?
There was a few things. And this is because the relationship that I had left that suddenly left me a single parent was a very abusive relationship. And I had to leave suddenly with just my baby, my dog, and whatever I could carry at that moment in time until I was able to get a police escort to go back and get the rest of my stuff. And so a lot of that stuff was things that I had brought into that relationship where I had been prior to that living on my own and doing my own thing. And so getting that house was very symbolic of like, I'm safe now. This is my safe spot. And all that stuff in there was stuff that was either bought prior to that relationship or during that relationship, but was like truly mine. And so the hardest part for me in that whole thing was like giving up what felt like my safe spot that I had worked so hard to get and to that point where I was safe and I felt protected and this was mine and no one could take it from me. So that was honestly, selling the house was honestly harder than getting rid of the stuff inside of the house because the stuff didn't really mean that much. I can buy a new table. Yeah. I can get a new bed. It was wondering if I was going to give up this house and I wasn't ever going to feel that like I feel safe feeling again like I did when I got that house. You know, that was the hardest thing for me.
Yeah. And how was the transition to homeschooling your kids? How did they roll into that? With ease or with a little bit of struggle, or has it gotten easier over time?
It's definitely gotten easier over time because when you've never schooled your own children, you don't really know like their learning styles and how things will go for them. And so we picked initially a program that was mainly online and they would do the work on there and they, you know, had teachers and stuff because we didn't know how confident we would be in our abilities to like do all of the schooling ourselves. Plus I knew I would still be working. We weren't sure if my husband was going to pick up another job that he could do on the road or not. So we were kind of up in the air. So we're like, let's pick this because it's easy, right? Well, it turned out that the kids hated it. They were like, It was just too much screen time all day, every day, being in front of the computer. They did not like it. They really did, were not happy. So we were like, okay, well, we're finishing this year because we've already signed you up and paid for the year. So, you know, let's finish it and then we'll decide from there, right? So then we ended up trying a different program that had less screen time, but was still kind of online and was a little more fun and interesting. And there was actual other students they could talk to as well. So they could make friends and things like that. They could chat and it was all monitored and, you know, it was really safe. So we felt like, okay. And that one they liked a little bit more and they made it through most of the year before like going, oh my God, we're so tired of this. We don't want to do it anymore. So then the year after that, we were like, okay, we're just going to do our own curriculum and try to just figure this out, right? So I dove down the rabbit hole of like trying to figure out which curriculum I would want. I ended up going with one called Blossom and Root because it was supposed to be really nature-based, get your kids outside, lots of activities and things that like my kids really liked. And I was like, oh, this sounds good. Well, one of my children struggles with dyslexia. And so no one told me, and none of the reviews said this, but this curriculum was basically all reading based. The kids had to read and read and read and read. And my poor child was like, what are you trying to do to me, Mom? Like, this is just not what I wanted to do. And on top of that, at the time, we stay mainly out in the Western U.S. We were staying at a place in the desert because I was working at a hospital there as a nurse. And so we were in a very desert-like environment. And all the activities were for like a deciduous biome. Well, we didn't have a deciduous biome. And they wanted you to go outside to the creek and get water. And I'm like, we're in a desert. There's not a creek anywhere, right? Like, and go collect leaves for the fall. And I'm like, we don't even have any trees that shed leaves out here. And so it was really frustrating for my one kid who was like, this is so much reading and I am dying over here. And then the other one was just bored because it was like, there's nothing to do like you had promised us, right? So this last year, he decided that, you know what, we're just going to do something different. So the last 2 years, we have done what we call our version of road schooling, which is basically a mix of unschooling and a mix of using like a curriculum for like some of the foundational pieces like reading, writing, math, that kind of stuff. And so last year, we just did that. Unschooling is more of like a child-led education in the way that like you follow their interests and then you use those interests to like, hey, we're going to write on this subject that you're interested in and we're going to do math based on this stuff. Like my one kid loves baking. So a lot of her math when learning fractions was like, let's go bake. We got to, you know, we're going to double this recipe. So you need to tell me what's 1/3 plus 1/3. So we have enough flour. We have enough this, you know. And so we started doing that. And then our daughter was like, hey, I really want to go learn about the Salem witch trials. Can we go to Salem? And we were like, sure. So we hopped in the van and took off and went to Salem last year and, you know, went and saw that in person and did all the history there and walked through the museums and had her read everything. And then she had to give a report afterwards about it. And, you know, we did all of that. And then we've been to the Grand Canyon because they wanted to see the Grand Canyon and learn about how it formed and rock formations. And they're all really interested in geology. So we went to the Grand Canyon for like a week and, you know, learned all of that, read all of the stuff, talked to all the tour guides, did all of the stuff that they wanted to do, you know, did oral reports on that. The other one wanted to go down a rabbit hole on World War II. So down the rabbit hole we went for a while, you know, so it's been interesting. We make sure that they get like the foundation, but for the most part, we don't follow any like rigid curriculum where today we're learning about this subject and tomorrow we're learning about that subject. The overall subjects are very just whatever the kids want to learn that week. And then we add writing and reading in for that and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And does all of that get sent somewhere to move them to the next grade? Or like, how does that process work? Are you connected with some kind of organization?
Our home state is Florida, so we have to follow their homeschooling guidelines. And they, you register under an umbrella school, and then you have to submit just your days for homeschooling. And you have to do at least 180 days a school year of learning. And learning is defined as pretty much anything that your child is interested in and learning and about that is new to them or you can use in some way for like schooling. It's not super rigid, like it only has to be reading, writing, arithmetic, right? It can be anything. So it's really easy to get the 180 days in because when we spent a week at the Grand Canyon, we were there like Saturday through Sunday. So that was 7 days right there without even really doing much. And so that's, and we have to report mm-hmm. those every quarter. Every state is different. So you would have to look up what your home state is for sure. But for Florida, that's what that is. So it's pretty simple, fairly straightforward, and easy to do.
So you can really just register with a certain state. And then I'm assuming with an RV, you domicile in a certain state mm-hmm. and then you can kind of like wander off, but then your anchor goes back to Florida.
Yes. Yep. When I was doing the travel nursing, and even now, because the way the IRS works, if that's our home state, because we travel for work and other things, that we have to spend at least 30 days a calendar year in our home state so that we don't start like messing up taxes and things like that. And so we're there for at least a month every year. Otherwise, yeah, we're just wandering wherever the wind may take us.
And so you've been doing this for 5 years with your kids, and your kids are kind of spread along the age range. How do you fit in the socialization piece for them?
We spend a lot of time around other families that also do this. We have several groups that we have joined that you can meet up with other families. They have events, things like that. So we've done a lot of those. We do a lot of boondocking, so mainly staying somewhere like on BLM land and stuff like that. So we meet a lot of people out there that also have kids sometimes. And if they don't, then, you know, the kids will just socialize with the adults, which I think is also good because it gives them a good age range of people that they're talking to and learning how to communicate with. So it's not just their own peers. There's nothing wrong with, you know, peer socialization, obviously, but I think it's better for everybody to have more interaction with people outside of people your own age. It gives you a better perspective in life. And so our kids have gotten very, very good at just like saying hi to anybody that they want to talk to. When our oldest daughter was with us, and she's our like super social child that we, you know, have no trouble having her make friends. She would like wander around to all the different campsites that were around us and talk to everybody and, you know, just be super happy. We would have to call her at the end of the night to tell her to come back to the camper because it was bedtime and we were getting ready to go to sleep, and she'd been out for like, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours at that time. We could see her where she was and stuff, and we knew she was okay. Like, it was never unsafe, but she definitely was like, she's our social extrovert child. The others are a little more introverted, so we just kind of follow their lead. But we do have quite a few families that we know that we caravan with sometimes, that we meet up with at other times, that we have fun with. And then we just meet random people everywhere we go, which has been really interesting. We've met a lot of really interesting, cool yeah. people that I don't think we ever would have met otherwise. So they get socialization that way. Yeah. All of them now have devices that they can get in, you know, touch with family members and friends. A lot of their friends, because they live on the road, have email addresses already or iPads or something where they can communicate. So they do a lot of like FaceTime, Zoom, those kind of things. The other day, my daughter got on with her cousin over like FaceTime, and then they both started a movie at the exact same time, and they watched a movie together while having like popcorn that we both made in our separate states. So technology mm-hmm. has helped a lot too, and the fact that they can keep up with friends. But I think if we didn't have all those advancements, it might not be so easy, but that's definitely helped a lot.
Mm-hmm. And I love, when I talked to you before, you talked about how you all get your needs for privacy met. And I really would love for you to share that, because it's been pretty creative what you guys have done. And it's been in my mind since we've talked. And I love how you figured out the balance of like what works for everybody, because obviously you've got what, 6 people, you've got a lot of personalities and a lot of different needs for space and privacy and community.
Yeah. And the kids did not grow up together, right? Like, because some of them were not mine initially. And so we're blending 2 families together, mm-hmm. which makes it even more difficult sometimes. We were really lucky. Our kids are awesome and they've all gotten along really well. Mm-hmm. But I think it's because we didn't try to force anything. We just kind of let it happen naturally and just let them form their own relationships with each other. But it's definitely been interesting. So each kid has like their own space. It has either a door or a curtain that they can close. They can go there when they're tired of being around other people. They have that space to go to. If we're going to be in a place longer than like a week or two, we have a tent that we set up. That's then becomes my office, quote unquote. It becomes the living room. It becomes the, hey, you want to go spend the night in the tent because it's tons of fun, you know? So that's been helpful too, to be able to like just get out of that enclosed space that we're in and go somewhere else. The kids have gotten really good at communicating their needs. Hey, I really don't want to be bothered right now. I need some space. Can, you know, I get some space to myself, some time to myself over here? Or, hey, I'm going to go out to the tent because I'm just needing a, you know, a breath of fresh air. And, you know, my husband and I model that by doing the same thing, right? Sometimes, yeah, we get a little tired of being around each other. We get cranky about it. But one of the things that is really big in our family is that we don't yell at each other ever, and we don't raise our voices, and we use our words to communicate as nicely as we possibly can. Snappy happens because we're humans, but if the kids get snappy, we get snappy. We are very quick to correct ourselves and say, I'm sorry, I should not have snapped at you like that. Let me rephrase that. Let's try again, you know, and reuse our words in a nicer way so we're not harming each other while we're in this tight space, right? So that's mainly, everybody has their own space they can go to and close it off. And we're very good at communicating when we need that space. You know, we do spend a lot of time outside hiking and doing other outdoor activities, going to the lake, the beach, swimming. So we're outside a lot. And I think that helps too, because it burns a lot of energy off. So it's a lot harder to be mad at each other when you're too tired to fight. So we do a lot of that, you know, so we make space for each other, and we listen, and we understand that, you know, sometimes we just need a break from each other, and that's okay. It's okay to take some space.
Yeah.
Is it hard in the winter? I mean, you are in Florida, so there's not really like a legit winter like here in Colorado, but is it hard in the winter when the weather's crappy, or you get like a week of rain and it's just nonstop and you can't go outside, and do you find that you guys start to get a little snappy and get on each other's nerves a little bit, or does it, have you figured it out?
It can be. Our way of dealing with that is that we don't stay anywhere that has crappy weather during the winter months. So since our house is on wheels, we're like, you know what? Don't really want to go anywhere with snow, because I do not do snow personally. If I can help it, I will avoid it at all costs. After growing up in a very snowy atmosphere, if I never see it again, I will never be too upset. And so we spend a lot of our winters in like Arizona, Nevada, Southern California, and, you know, Southern New Mexico, and places like that where they don't get snow and it's usually warmer weather. I spent the majority of this winter on the beach and, you know, hanging out outside where it was beautiful. And on days where we do have to be cooped up for, you know, more than 1 or 2 days, we are very cognizant of giving each other like space when needed. If we get really bad, it's like, well, I know that it's bad weather, but the tent is set up. You can still go out there. You might get a little wet on the way into it, but you can go out to the tent, you know? So we do just try to still honor that. Otherwise, we just deal with it for a couple of days and then all go take a nice long walk or a hike afterwards so that we can get some energy run off. Because that's the hard part, is just the kids get, you know, all cooped up. You know how that like cabin fever type energy, right? And so we try to mitigate that by getting out as soon as we can and taking some nice long walks.
Yeah.
And because your house is on wheels, what happens when your house needs repair or service or something happens? I'm sure something has happened in the last 5 years. How do you guys manage that?
Something actually just happened earlier this week, because we were traveling again and we heard all this grinding noise, and the van just felt shaky when we were stopping. So we happened to be in a town where we knew some people. So we called them up and said, hey, do you, you know, have a shop that you recommend that we can go to here that's like, you know, trustworthy and whatnot? And so we explained to them. They're like, oh, yeah, we can do that. Just come on over here. So we ended up going to their house, and it ended up being we needed new brakes in the front of the van. And so they were able to do it really quick for us. The other day, unfortunately, once we made it to our destination, we had to go back to the shop because we needed an oil change, and we had gone to get one. The day before we ended up, we got the brakes, and then we went to go get an oil change, and we're going to leave, right? Instead of waiting till we got to our destination, and the hood release quit working. Like when we popped, it wouldn't pop the hood. They couldn't get it open. Mm-hmm. We had to go to 3 different places, and it was just kind of a disaster. So we finally got out to our destination. we know a mechanic here that's really good. They work on older vehicles, and ours is a little older, and so they know it really well, took it there, and, you know, just kind of explained, hey, this is not going to be a quick fix. Are you okay if we sleep in your parking lot in our van? Sometimes if it's just going to take longer than that and sleeping in the parking lot is not an option, we will get a hotel. But we actually all really like the van, and we all sleep better when we're in our own beds and our own stuff. So we will try to just stay there, right? If they let us. If not, then, you know, we understand and we'll go find a hotel that we can Uber to or something.
And then do you just go like once a week and get your groceries? Is that how, like, how does your week work with laundry and groceries and all of that?
Yeah, we pick one day a week that is like our errand day, we call it. So we go into town wherever we're at, and we do laundry, and we get groceries, and we stock up on like snacks and things like that. We'll get gas if we need it. Usually, since we don't travel very much, when we're staying somewhere for like a month, we'll stay out wherever we're staying for like a week at a time. So we'll get gas if needed. But otherwise, we have a fridge in our van, so we are able to keep about a week and a half worth of groceries in there. So like I tend to make a lot of crock pot meals or casseroles or things like that, where I can get like dinner today and lunch tomorrow from it. So I don't have to, you know, keep a huge supply of like food in stock. But yeah, we usually go in, then we'll do laundry at a laundromat. Due to the fact that like we now have a lot less clothes, it doesn't take long to do laundry. So I typically, even after a week, everybody has enough clothes for like 8 or 9 days. So we can usually make it about a week, sometimes a little over if we have to, because like weather's bad or something, we can't get there. And so then we'll go wash it. I usually only need like one, maybe two washers, and then like we can throw it all in one dryer, right? So we do that. We have a gym membership that we carry that's nationwide, so we can shower anytime we need to at like the gym. So we'll pop into the gym. Typically we'll go obviously more often if we're dirtier, but we always go on an errand day for sure, and everybody gets showers. So
yeah,
we'll just get anything else that we need while we're in town, things like that. We rarely go out to eat anymore, but sometimes like once a month while we're on errand day, we'll go grab like some food from a restaurant too as like a special treat. Otherwise, I just cook all the time. So we usually go like on Wednesdays because it's not as busy. There's not as many people out. And if we get up and get into town early enough, then we can avoid a lot of the crowds and everything, and we can be back at our spot before the traffic gets too bad. Sometimes on the weekends, we'll do maybe some more schooling or learning again, depending on, you know, what we got done during the week or if the kids want to do more. Though we typically tend to like hike and stuff on the weekend, spend time outside. We'll have like family movie night. We'll watch a movie, you know, things like that. So, you know, you just got to be a little flexible with the schedule sometimes, depending on what else is going on.
Yeah. And if I talk to your kids, what do you think they would tell me was the best part about living on the road and the most challenging?
Well, I know what my daughter would say is the best part about living on the road. She is, in astrology, she's a Taurus. Tauruses are very much homebodies, right? They like to be at home. They like their comforts. They like their blankets, their snacks, their animals. They like to, you know, not leave that comfort zone. So she was our most reluctant of the kids to be like, yeah, let's hit the road, because she was really upset about leaving behind her comforts. Now over the years of us doing this, she's realized my bed comes with me. All of my cozy blankets come with me. My favorite pillow is with me. My dog is always with me. All of my stuffies that I love are with me. And her favorite part to this day is still that no matter where we go, her home just comes with her. So she doesn't have to worry about leaving home anymore. She just brings it with her anywhere she goes. And so that is really,
that's, it's like a little, like a turtle.
Yes. Yes. Just like what? And so that's her ultimately, like her favorite part. As far as like the most difficult part, I think sometimes it's just because we tend to get up and travel really early, and the kids aren't even awake sometimes. So they'll still be in their bed, and they'll wake up and they'll be in a completely different place. And if we haven't prepared them adequately the night before that, hey, we're leaving tomorrow, they wake up, they're like, oh my God, it's a little disconcerting. So that's been one of the most difficult, I think, is transition sometimes. You know, they you get used to being in one spot for a little while. Like, we tend to try to stay at a place at least like a month at a time. So it saves on gas. It saves on wear and tear in the vehicle. It gives us time to explore that area and see all the cool things that the kids want to see or we want to see or do the hiking, you know. So we tend to try to spend a little bit of time in one place. And I think they get attached a little bit sometimes to all the stuff that's there. And so the transition to a new place can be a little difficult for them. So we have to prepare them or else they don't do so well.
What a great lesson of impermanence.
Yeah. Flexibility, change, dealing with problems that come up. Our kids are really good problem solvers now. Really good problem solvers, because we have had a lot of crazy like things happen on the road where we've had to problem solve to get ourselves out of it, right? Because we're maybe too far off the beaten path to have anybody come rescue us. So, okay, what can we do now? Ingenuity, you know, learning to, yeah, like I wanted to do this today, but this has happened. So how do we deal with that? So we've really learned conflict resolution and how to pivot. And I think it's been really, really good for them, because I have noticed that my kids have much more emotional regulation than like I ever had at their age. They are able to have conversations with people and like speak their mind, but in a nice way, but not be like, they stand up for themselves a lot more than I think I ever did at that age. They're willing. They know who they are. They are really secure in who they are and what they know and what they believe. And it's just really kind of amazing to see how different they are now than when we started and how much they've grown as human beings. And I just don't know if they would be in this spot now if we had stayed where we were, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of feel like at this point in the universe, there's like somewhat of a collapse and crumbling of systems and structures and organization and politics and like all of this. Because I was thinking about asking you the question of how do you think your kids would do with like, quote, like real world, right? In the real world where there's like structure and all of those systems in place. And then the other part of me is like, that doesn't really work for a lot of people.
No, it doesn't.
So it's not really even that important. I'm just kind of curious of your perspective on that. Because as I was about to ask the question, I was like, yeah, who cares about that? Like, it's almost this shattering of the illusion of the box that we're supposed to fit in that we don't.
Yeah.
Like creating our own box to fit in instead of other people creating the box for us to stand inside.
Yes, very much so. Our oldest daughter is, you know, 18. She'll be 19 this year. So she's moved out. She's on her own. She's living with her girlfriend and they are rocking out life. And she traveled with us for, you know, a number of years before she wanted to finish high school in one place. So she ended up staying with her older brother in that state that he's in for high school, so she could finish it up and have like the same people around her. She ended up hating it, but she was happy that she tried it because at least she gave it a try, right? So she definitely, like, she sees now like these systems are broken and it makes her want to change things, but it's also living the way we do has given her, you know, the idea and understanding and knowledge to know that she doesn't have to live that way. There's other ways to do things, right? She's doing really well at having a job and the structure and all of this. But at the same time, she's working hard to change that. Her and her girlfriend are building out a van so they can hit the road with us so that they can live life the way that they want to and not be stuck, like you said, inside a box that doesn't fit them. And so I think, well, yes, it's good in some ways to, you know the structures and how to fit in with them. I also think it's not a great thing to know how to do that sometimes, because you lose your creativity, you lose who you are, your personality, your beliefs. You become just like a robot. And I don't want my kids to just be like everybody else, right? I want them to know it's okay to break out of those systems, build your own box, you know, climb a mountain and get away from people, whatever works. Just, it's okay to be exactly who you are. And if other people don't like it, that's a them problem, not a you problem. You're not for everybody and you don't have to be. And it's okay to go through life and bust the systems, right? Like, yes, some of these systems need to burn to the ground. And I'm very happy that I am raising children who are going to be part of the generation that burns them to the ground and builds them back up better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think sometimes when we're like stuck in the matrix, we can't see outside of it, and we can't think outside the box. We can't even get that perspective. And so it almost sounds like you're raising your kids outside of the box, and then they can choose. And it sounds like they're creating a really good self-identity of what they're interested in and the path that they want to follow, and following their intuition and what they want to do next and how they want to interact with the world. And I love that. I mean, personally, my little boy's in third grade now, and we love his school right now. It's a public charter, but it's expeditionary. So it's got a really nice, beautiful model. It's a unusual school. But after he finishes sixth grade, my husband and I have been talking about, like, we don't want him to be in mainstream school. My kid is not a mainstream kid. And I don't think that he would thrive in that system. No. And it's just trying to figure out, like you have, is think outside the box of how I can get all his needs met for education and socialization and all of that. But I have a lot of clarity that the traditional school model isn't for him. And I don't think it's for a lot of kids. I think we're teaching to this outdated model of what we think that the kids should be. And there's so many kids that don't fit that mold anymore. And there's so many neurodiverse kids right now. And there's so many kids on IEPs that have special needs and different ways of learning. And we're still trying to teach that old, really outdated model. And so I'm grateful that he's in a school now where that's not happening and that they're honoring the individuality of each child. But once elementary school's over, like, that's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've done it. I don't necessarily think that's an easy path to figure out as a family, like how to do that, where you balance everything out, that it fits well for everyone. And you said too, that it took you all of these years to figure out how to homeschool your own kids. And I feel like just my experience during COVID, I realized that I don't think I'm the best guide for my child, but maybe it is going through the path like that you went through to realize that maybe I am.
Yeah. I think it takes time to come into your own as a homeschooling parent and realize that the knowledge that you have is more than you realize, right? I mean, I held all those degrees and I still didn't feel confident in being able to do that. My husband has, you know, degrees and things. He's really good at so many different things. He, you know, was in computers and like tech and all that stuff. And now he installs solar. So he's an electrician, or as they're called in the electrician world, they're sparkies. So he's a sparky and he does all of that. And he's really good at it. Like, really good. You don't ever want me touching your electricity, but he's great at it. And, you know, we've been using our knowledge that we do have to teach our kids stuff, right? Like, my oldest is like, hey, teach me herbs. So I've been, you know, going over herbs with her. Or my youngest daughter is like, hey, I want to learn how to cook and bake because I really like doing it. So we've been doing a lot of like math and reading through reading recipes and figuring out how to double them and triple them for however much food we need and how to bake. And, you know, there's a science to baking and cooking. And if you don't know the science behind it, you don't get good food sometimes, you know? So she's been learning that, and it's like science and, you know, everything else. And we're out in nature all the time and they see all of that stuff. And there's so much cool things in nature that you just don't even know until you get out there. And when the kids are asking questions, I'm realizing, hey, I know more about this stuff than I thought I knew. Right. And we're able to answer their questions more. And I think it does take time sometimes as a family to come into that like confidence and that ability. But especially as a mother, we know our kids better than I think we even realize we do, and we have that intuition on what's best for our kids. And when we follow that, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong following your intuition and how to raise your kids and how to give them what they need. We are innately connected to our children in a way that even our spouses sometimes aren't, because we did carry them in our bodies and we have that connection.
100%.
And so I think you just need to learn to get back to that part of motherhood where we trust our intuition and know that we have everything we have need inside of us to raise our kids properly.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. I love that. Yeah. So much yes.
Yes. It takes time. Don't get me wrong. It's not easy, but it's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice? Like, I mean, you've given, that was a giant piece of advice and a really great piece of advice, but do you have any advice for people that are like potentially looking at the nomadic life and, you know, kind of like two separate asks here, maybe they're not looking at the nomadic life, but they're looking at homeschooling, road schooling, kind of that option. What do you wish that you would have known and somebody had told you that you can share now?
Yeah. So don't be afraid to make changes to your initial way of traveling when you start the nomadic life. You are not locked into whatever you have chosen, right? Like, we started off in a 35-foot travel trailer with a bunkhouse and a couple of slides and, you know, all this space. And we discovered, like, a year into traveling with it, that we didn't like having that huge of a camper that was going with us everywhere, that my husband was towing through all these crazy, you know, cities and stuff that we were driving through. And the kids didn't like being in the bunkhouse by themselves, way in the back, and our bed was way in the front. They would every night want to sleep in the living room on the pull-out couch, or turn the dining room table into a bed, and they would sleep there. Like, every night I was doing this instead of putting them in their room, because they did not want to be in there, want to be close to us. They never spent any time in the bunkhouse. They were always in the living area with me, or in the kitchen with me, or they were in the bed with us while we watched TV, right? Like, nobody, they wanted to be next to us. They didn't want to be separated. And so we were like, okay, well, why are we still in this? So we downsized to a smaller RV that had, you know, the bedrooms that were closer to each other and the spaces that were closer, and there was less space so that the kids were always closer, even if they were in their room, right? And so we did that, and now we're in a van and we're looking into moving up to a school bus here in, you know, the near future. So, like, don't feel like just because you started with X, you have to stay there forever. You can make changes. Being flexible is, like, literally the number one rule of living on the road and being nomadic, is that you have to be willing to be flexible and make changes as needed, right? So that's, like, my top piece of advice is don't fall for that sunk cost fallacy where, well, we put all of our time and effort into this, so we have to continue. You don't.
Yeah.
You don't. And that same, honestly, goes for homeschooling.
That's such a great point, too. And it's not, it's not for everybody. It's not for every kid. It's not for every parent. It's not for every family. And like you said, it might be you. It might be online. It might be in community. There's a lot of different ways to do it.
There are. And I think don't be afraid when you're homeschooling your kids to do something wrong or admit that you don't know something. I've had to say several times to my kids, I don't know the answer to that. Let's look it up together, because I don't know the answer to everything. In fact, I think it's kind of helped my relationship with my kids, because they don't see us as, like, the know-it-all parents who are just trying to tell them what to do without, you know, any, because they think that we think we're smarter than them. They've realized that we are not smarter than them. We aren't. When we're okay admitting that, like, hey, I don't know that. Let's look it up together. Hey, I don't know that either. Let's look that up together. And don't be afraid to try a curriculum. And if it's not working for your kid, to switch it in the middle of the school year. They're not going to, you know, suddenly get so far behind that they can't catch up if you switch something in the middle of the school year. At the point of homeschooling is one of the points, not the only point, but one of the points is to, you know, school your kid in a way that works best for them. So if it's not working best for them, it's okay to switch it. It doesn't have to be one way or the highway. You know, there's multiple options. We have switched things in the middle of school years.
I like the permission. I like the permission to do it in the middle of school year, because I bet most people wouldn't even consider that. I wouldn't consider that. I think that's a great point. Pivot. We teach our kids to pivot, and we pivot with them. Ayer, thank you so much. This has been really fun. I feel like I could talk to you about so many different topics, and including this one. I think I could talk to you for hours on this one alone, and there's so many things you're into. Do you want to share some of your offerings and how people can connect with you and some of the services that you offer? You'd mentioned some, but to go in a little bit more detail.
I do, yes. So, podcast first, it's Alchemy Astrology and Astro Health is the name of it. You can find it on pretty much any podcast platform that you use. That podcast dives into medical astrology, holistic health and wellness, women's health, kind of what we're doing on the road and what's going on with that. So life on the road is in there too a little bit, just all kinds of different things, but it mainly focuses on the medical astrology and, you know, that kind of stuff. If you head over to my website, atlaastrology.com/everything, that page has literally every offer that I am currently offering on it, so that you can see what I have as all my freebies, all of my courses. The one course that I just released that I highly recommend you come and take, and it's only $9, so it's really easy to just come and pop in and take it, is the Astro Aligned Kitchen. This really helps you see how your metabolism is designed to work cosmically and how to work with it instead of against it. Get you out of diet culture, makes you stop hating your body because it's not working how you think it should when it's working exactly as it's designed to, right? So I love it. It helps you get your understanding of your body. It helps you get your kitchen all set up so that you can nourish your body appropriately for how it's designed to work. And we cut out eating all the diets and doing all those fads that actually ultimately harm our body in the end because it kills our metabolism. It's not a diet. We don't do diets over here. So yeah. I love that program. It's been really awesome. Everybody who's gone through it so far has been like, oh my God, this is so amazing. And it's really changed a lot of the way that they look at food and their relationship with their own bodies. So if you are struggling with any of that, I highly recommend popping over and joining that. I am doing a live training on happy, healthy hormones via the cosmos. So we are going to be diving deep into how your body is designed to work, how your hormones are designed to work, specifically as a woman, how they work in your body, how they function, and how to keep them happy and healthy via astrology and astro nutrition. So it's going to be a really good time. It's going to be a 3-hour long live class. It's $47. So it's, again, super, you know, cost effective to come and hop into that. You get a live question and answer with me session at the end. So you get to ask anything that comes up during the class or whatever. I'm open book. It doesn't matter what it's about. I also do health coaching with people for 3 or 6 months. So we start off with the medical astrology reading. I figure out what's going on, dive deep into your body, and then we come up with a game plan on how we're going to fix whatever is going wrong, be it hormonal issues or anything. I have helped with gallbladder issues. I do a lot of fertility stuff. Fertility is one of, like, this near and dear to my heart. I struggled with fertility for a really long time, and I healed my body from it. I had my daughter when they told me I never would, and I really love helping other women do that. I currently have a client who is pregnant. After working with me, I have a couple ones that have had rainbow babies that send me pictures all the time now of their rainbow babies, and it's awesome. So there is that as well, working for, you know, if you want to look at a different approach to, you know, healing your body's fertility issues and having a baby, if that is your thing, please come see me. I've helped a lot of women transition into menopause. You don't have to have night sweats and hot flashes and, you know, mood swings all over the place. That is not normal. So if you're having those, then we can figure out what's going on and we can get through it together. So the 3 to 6 months works really well because you have me as your cheerleader and your guide helping you all the way, helping you get those new habits set up and those new, you know, nutrition ways of doing things, lifestyle changes to really help your body heal. So those are available as well. And those are on my website. I have a couple of freebies. One is my sun sign and your health guide. So that dives deep into each sun sign and what common health problems occur and how you can manage those naturally. And then I have my hormone balance through astro nutrition workbook, which is really in depth, super involved, and is really awesome to be a nice jumping off point to balancing your hormones. So those are my current offers and everything. So you can find this again at atlaastrology.com/everything.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much for your time today and for sharing your story. We appreciate you.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Community Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please like, share, and subscribe. I can be found at www.nikkiyyoga.com, NikkiYyoga.com. Until I see you again next week, I hope you have a beautiful day.